dynamic duo. All right, amen. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn with me to Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll get there in just a moment. Last Sunday, we were exploring the confession, "If only I had listened." And of course, we looked at it not in terms of simply listening to our parents or listening to our best friends or somewhat of that nature. We looked at it in terms of if we had only listened to the Lord. And by listening, we clarified that we're talking about not just hearing, but heeding. In other words, not only hearing what the Lord has to say, but heeding it, doing what he tells us to do. It's unfortunate. There are many who are truly saved, followers of Christ. And then, of course, there are others who would classify as church-going people that don't have yet a true personal relationship with Christ, but they're faithful in terms of church attendance, that have heard, I'm talking about truly saved and unsaved, who have heard multitudes of messages, Sunday school, Bible study lessons, maybe even gone to special conferences, you know, to hear the Word of God. But the problem is very little, they have taken very little of what they've heard and heeded it. That is, built it into their life. And as a result of that, they're still babes in Christ. Those who have been saved are still babes in Christ. Those who are unsaved have a lot of knowledge of Christ, but they still do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There's a reason why the church today is not as powerful as the church was in the early church when it turned the Roman Empire upside down. He said there's a reason, and one of those reasons is because we're weak in our faith. Lindsay was talking about how much we need to be able to live by faith, but we're weak because we're hearing, but we're not heeding. We're not taking what the Lord has said to us and literally building it into our lives. Well, that, as I thought about that this coming week, I also thought about, well, it does imply just the question itself, just the confession itself, if only I had listened, means, obviously, as you know, the Lord is still speaking to us today. The Lord God is speaking to us. So I want you to consider with me for a few moments this morning why God speaks to us. You might be surprised how many people in this world, maybe you won't be, but you might be, that in addition to so many not even believing there is a God, but those who do believe there is a God, have this concept that God created this universe, he created man, he says, now it's all up to you from here on out. As though God doesn't really care about us, that he's not particularly interested in us. He did his work, quote unquote, as God, as the one who created everything, and now he's placed it all into our hands. But we know, by the declaration of the Word of God, we know that the Lord wants to be personally involved in all of our lives. Do I have a witness on that? And of course, we knew this just by the experience of Adam and Eve, you know, before the fall. We don't know how often, but we know that there were times where the Lord just himself was there in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, personally involved in our life, personally speaking into their life. And so nothing has changed from that perspective. God cares about you. There's no one he doesn't care about. And he wants to be personally involved, and so he speaks into our lives. And what I want to draw your attention to is the reality that he has some primary purposes behind this. So the first one I want you to write down is this. For those of you who love to take notes, and I encourage you to do that, is that he wants us, first of all, to comprehend truth, to comprehend the truth. Now, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's just begin with verse 9, and we're going to work our way through some of these verses together. Paul writes this. You've heard this before, probably at a service where what we call a funeral service or maybe even a memorial service. But listen carefully to what he says. He says, but just as it is written, listen to this, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the human heart. In other words, totally void of our knowledge of and understanding of. Eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it, it hasn't even come up in man's heart. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, that's not just talking about heaven. That's talking about the here and now. That's talking about our lives here as followers of Christ, those who know him, those who love him. What Paul is telling us is there are things that we cannot even possibly know, much less understand, if God did not speak them into our lives. Of course, he speaks to us what? Through the scripture. He speaks to us through the Spirit of the Lord. He speaks to us through saints, others who have come to know Christ. And as they grow and they learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, they share it with others. We have wonderful teachers here at Washington Baptist Church. Other churches have those who are gifted and God is using, but we also ought to share it with others as well. Do I have a witness on that? But here's the point. We would not have any clue. We wouldn't have any idea, any inkling whatsoever if God did not purpose to speak into our lives. So here's what Paul says following on in verse 10. He says, for to us, God revealed them. All right? God revealed them through the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of the person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. He is simply stating in those verses that when you come to the Holy Trinity, obviously, God the Spirit knows everything that's in the heart and mind of God the Father and God the Son. So he's the only source, ultimately. Is he not the one who inspired this word that we are studying even this morning? Yeah, that's why we can call it infallible and it's inerrant, because it's a work of the Lord God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit inspiring every single writer. And so he's just simply saying God speaks, it's through the Holy Spirit, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now this is what he goes on to say. So also, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. And then he says this. Look at this in verse 12. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, who is from God, watch this, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. In other words, everything that God wants us to know, everything God wants us to understand, if he had not chosen to be personally involved, wanting a personal relationship with us, but also personally involved in every detail of our lives so that he can make things known to us, if he had not chosen to do that, we would be totally spiritually blank. But he has chosen. He wants us to know the things freely given to us by him. Paul goes on to say, verse 13, we also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom. This is not man's philosophy. This is not man's religion. This is not man's thoughts. But in those taught by the Holy Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now listen to what he says in verse 14. But a natural person, who's the natural person? Natural person is that one who does not know God. They may know about God. Are you listening to me? Say amen. Oh, boy, there's a lot of people got great knowledge about God. They just don't know him personally. They're called the natural person. But a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Here it is. And he cannot understand, cannot comprehend. The lights do not come on, because they are spiritually discerned. So my point is that God not only wants us to know facts about him. Facts do not produce faith. Understanding produces faith. When the lights come on, I've had so many people in the years that, and I was like that for a while myself, and they would say to me, they'd come and say, well, you know, Pastor, I read the Bible, I just don't understand it. So what they're telling me is the lights ain't coming on, because this is a living word. Do I have a witness on that? This is a living word. And when the Holy Spirit of God is the one who is teaching, when he is the one who is revealing, he's the one that brings life to these words, these facts, so that the lights come on. And when the lights come on, that's when we begin to respond by faith. So what does he want us to know? What does he want us to understand? What does he want us to comprehend? Well, he wants us to comprehend truth about himself. I mean, we have a world out there that just continuously lies and fills our heart, tries to speak lies and deceivement and untruth into our hearts and minds. That's why you got to be careful. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. You got to be careful what you're watching, who you're listening to, what you're reading, what you're looking at, because all of it, not all of it, but what I'm saying is the world out there wants to deceive you about God. The only way you're going to know truth about God himself is from his word. But as the Holy Spirit makes it known, he wants us to know him, understand him. Now, not everything. God's so great, so awesome above us. Obviously, we can't wrap our mind around everything. But in terms of our relationship with him, Paul shared his heart about that in Philippians chapter 3. If you look there with me for just a moment, Philippians chapter 3 and I'm just going to read verses 8 through 11. And so what I want you to pay attention to is the times in which Paul says in this passage, he says, I just want to know. I want to know. And the word he uses for know here, it doesn't mean just to know facts. I want to know. I want to understand. I want to experience. I want experiential knowledge of God in my life. Here's what he says beginning in verse 8, Philippians chapter 3. He says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing, not just knowing about, not just having facts, but understanding and experiencing, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul had a passion to not just know about God, not just to know who Christ was, not just to know what he did for him. He wanted to know him with the depth of understanding so he could experience the fullness of this incredible relationship. So I'm asking you this morning, I had to ask myself the same question. Anytime I'm studying the Word, I'm asking myself the questions first before I'm asking you the questions, before I'm bringing to you. Just what is the level of my passion to really know, to really comprehend, to really understand how awesome this relationship is that I have with the Lord God of heaven through His Son, the Lord Jesus. And again, so grateful, you know, to have the opportunity to hear so many people in my life, many that were part of, many have gone on to be with the Lord, a part of this fellowship, that the Lord used to speak His word into my life. And then as I have grown through the years, still seeking and listening to others that God has anointed, is using to try to speak to my life. But I had to ask myself, just how much of that am I hearing and how much of that am I really heeding into my life? I want the lights to come on. If there's a truth I need to know, I want to know it, but I want to understand it. I want to experience that truth in my life. Do you have that kind of passion for the truth about God? To know it, to know that truth experientially in your life. He wants us to, first of all, know Him. But notice, let me just take us a little bit further, and then I want to go even further into that. But it's not only truth about Him, but truth about ourselves. Now, I could start with the reality that, as sometimes I share with people that say, how do you describe yourself spiritually? I said, a sinner saved by grace. But then I follow that and say, but so much more. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the incredible grace of God. Yes, I am a sinner saved by the grace of God, but I am a saint, that is, a child of God. Now, don't just let those words just settle on the, you know, just in your brain. Embrace that with your heart. You are if you're a follower of Christ, you are a child of God. So here's what Paul reminds us about that. And he wants us to understand the fullness of this. Again, if we're hearing it, but we're not heeding it, we never truly experienced the blessings of it. We just got the truth of it. But here's what he says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26. He says, and I'm going to go ahead and read through verse 27 as well. He says, I'm sorry, not 26, but 16 and verse 17. Scripture says, for the mindset, let me do this. Oh, there it is. It's called pride. You know what I'm saying? It's called pride. I don't want to admit that I can't see. All right. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. Children of God. What does that mean? And if children, we're heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Try to wrap your mind around the fact that you are a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is His, as the Son of God, is yours. Let me say that again. Everything that is His, everything that will be His on that day when He comes and He reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, everything that is His is yours as a child of God. Peter put it this way, 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes, for his divine power has granted to us everything, circle everything, for his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. Again, knowledge here meaning experiential knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these he has granted to us his precious promises and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. Now think about that. Think about who you are as a follower of Christ. Now, Satan wants you to think about how your life was before you come to know Christ, and try to create within us a spirit of shame, a spirit of guilt. Oh, if you just know me, I've had so many people say, Pastor, if you just known how I used to live. I said, I'm not worried about how you used to live. I'm just rejoiced about who you are now as a follower of Christ. I could say the same thing. I'm not going to tell you. I could say the same thing. And even as a follower of Christ now, we stumble, right? We stumble. We blow it. We were sitting there yesterday. Kathy was having a good day, and so she wanted to come see the grandkids play their last games this year and upward. So we brought her out, and we were sitting kind of away from people because they don't want her to be around. They're afraid for her to catch something. You know how all that works. But anyhow, and I was watching the games, and I was watching them with sports eyes, which means I was being pretty critical of what was going on, you know, and how things were going. Not the referees and all that kind of thing. Just, you know, and Kathy just turned to me and said, what happened to you when you got up this morning? I said, what do you mean? So, well, you're just critical about everything. And I thought, wow. Not only has she heard me, but probably those close enough to hear my voice have heard me too. So I began to realize that I was not in a good spirit, was I? These just kids having a good time playing a game. And I was being competitive in my heart and in my spirit. Right? You know what I'm talking about. We blow it. And so there's sometimes we have that experience in life and Satan just pounds us, doesn't he? Just jumps all fours, just jumps all over us, and we feel guilty, and we're thinking, I can't believe I said that, can't believe I done that. Let me just tell you a truth, and this is what he wants you to comprehend, understand. Yes, we need to deal with it. We need to confess it. But you're still a child of God. You still have the divine nature in you. That is the spirit of a living God. He hasn't gone anywhere. He wants us to understand truth about him. He wants us to understand truth about ourselves. He wants us to understand truth about others. Most of you could probably quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Who is the world? Every human being. Are you with me? Say amen. See, he wants us to look at everybody in our lives, saved, unsaved, righteous, unrighteous, walking with the Lord, walking after the ways of the world. The matter. He doesn't want us to look through human eyes. He wants to look through his eyes. And he literally loves every human being just as he loves you. That doesn't mean he approves, obviously, what's going on in their lives, just like he doesn't approve when we're not doing right in our lives. That's not the issue. Here's what I want you to understand. See, we have this tendency to look at people through our human eyes, and we place certain values on people. That's not consistent with his values. We think that someone who is unsaved out there living for the world, I don't care where they come from, and I don't care what's going on in their life or where they're headed, it doesn't matter. He looks literally at everyone and gives them the same, listen to me, the same value. Because he wants to save every one of them. Do I have a witness? Whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for whosoever. But see, because we put different values on people because of the way we are thinking, they're living their life, and so we want to kind of throw them under the bus, and we don't give them the time and the day that they need to know that God loves them and the power of his grace in them, and so they die eternally separated from God in that awful place called hell because we're looking through human eyes and not his eyes. Are you with me? Say amen. That's why he speaks into our life. So that we not only understand things about him and about ourselves, but also about others. How incredibly important they are to him, no matter what they've done in their life or what they're doing. Well, he wants us to comprehend the truth. Secondly, he wants us to be conformed to the truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul writes this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. To become conformed to the image of his son. How does he do that? Jesus said, I am the way and what? The truth and the life. So if I'm going to be conformed, if God's working in my life to conform me to the image of his son, he's going to do that through the truth that he gives to us in his word. That's why I need to not only hear it, but I need to what? Heed it. Right. James chapter 1. Turn with me there. James chapter 1. Verses 23. 24, and I'm actually going to read 25 too, even though I did not give that to them. James writes, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, that means they don't heed it. They hear it, they don't heed it. He is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Verse 25. But one who has looked intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, and has continued in it. They have heard it, they heed it. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an active doer, this person will be blessed in what he does. You know, we live in the day and time where these things control our lives. Most of our communication now right? It's through these things right here. If you got a smartphone, you know when an email's coming in because it has a different sound than a text. You know what I'm talking about, those of you who got one of these crazy things. And so we still communicate face-to-face, but let's be honest, most of our communication is this way, right? I share that to say this. We don't even send really many letters anymore, right? Yeah, just send a text, send an email, you know. I have people tell me, said, don't do that. Just send me a text. In other words, I don't want to talk to you. Just tell me what I want to hear, right? Y'all don't look at me like I'm not speaking the truth there. Here's my point. What if you got an email and you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was from Jehovah God? What if you got a text and you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt it was Jehovah God sending you that text? Sending you that email. Oh, maybe you did get a letter, you know? Letter, like maybe he sent me a letter, said, Dear Stan, and he shares all this with me, and it's signed Jehovah God. And I know. Now, I don't know about you, but I get so many emails sometimes and so many texts sometimes that I just kind of glance and move on. How many has done that? I mean, how many's lying? I mean, sometimes so much of this is coming in, you know. But I want to tell you something. If I knew it was Jehovah God, everybody hang on. This is top priority. Amen? The Lord is sending me a text. The Lord is sending me an email. I just got a letter. I'm not going to lay it down and open it later on. If I know that letter is from Jehovah God, everything else in my life stops. I want to know what he's saying to me, right? Do I have a witness on that? All right. Every book in this book is a letter from Jehovah God. Every passage of scripture, every chapter in this book is an email from Jehovah God. Every verse is a text from Jehovah God. That's why we need to hear it and heed it with the same value. It used the word in verse 25, intently. But the one who has looked intently, that means passionately. Fervently into the word. Why? If you don't, you're going to remain a babe in Christ as a follower of Christ as long as your life here is here on the earth. God says, I don't want you to be a baby. I'm glad you're born again, obviously. You're one of my children. I want you to grow. And so I'm sending you these letters. I'm sending you these emails. I'm sending you these texts. I want you to look at it intently. I want you to hear it. I want you to heed it. I'm speaking these things into your life so I can conform you to the image of my Son, Jesus Christ. Let me close with this. He speaks into life not only so that we may comprehend the truth about him, about ourselves, about others, to be conformed by the truth, but folks, to communicate the truth to others. As his children, we are his voice. Here's the difference. There are those in our who are followers of Christ who are what I call aggressive listeners. an aggressive listener is. I mean, they're just like he was talking about here in James. They're intently listening. They're hearing and heeding. They're hearing and heeding. And so they're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I want to tell you, when you get filled up with the truth of God, it kind of spills out as you share it with others. But then most in churches today are passive listeners. They're basically here to hear. To hear. Not really to heed. But just to hear. Well, it begins with hearing. So I'm grateful for that. It can't stop there. It cannot stop there. If we want to see a movement of God in our church, in our communities, in our country, and around this world. 2 Timothy, give you this one first. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, the things which I have heard, things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Pass it on. Pass it on. Parents, pass it on. Grandparents, pass it on. Brothers and sisters in Christ, pass it on. They're not going to know unless they hear. They're not going to hear if we remain passive listeners and we're silent. And we've got the truth. The truth. While the world is being deceived and lied to the point where it's hard to even comprehend how they think. So deluded by the lies and the deception of the world. Here's what it says, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So, there's a reason. Three primary reasons God speaks into our lives. That we may comprehend the truth about Him, about ourselves, about others. That He can conform us through the truth into the image of His Son, Jesus. But so that we would also communicate this truth to the world. This is not a club. This is not a country club we're part of. It's a living body of Christ that needs to have the same passion that Paul had to know Christ, power of His resurrection, the same passion to be changed through the power of the truth, same passion to share this truth with a dying and lost world. Pass it on. So we cannot just be hearers of the word. We must heed it. So Father God, as we come to Your throne of grace, we just, Lord God, we stand in a position before You to be the answer, to be the answer to everything that is happening around us. That's why we're here. Lord Jesus, that's why You built Your church and You're building Your church. with the declaration the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But Lord God, in all confession, we're weak because we're hearers only and not doers of your word. So speak to my heart deeper and deeper, stronger and stronger. And speak to the hearts of my brothers and sisters in Christ deeper and deeper and stronger because, Lord God, the only answer to this world is you. And we possess the truth to share it. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.